From North State Public Radio, I'm Alex Dutson with your headlines for Thursday, March 21st. The Yurok tribe signed a historic agreement this week that will return culturally important land in Humboldt County. NSPR's Ken Duvall has more.
The Yurok call the area where the 125-acre parcel is located Oru. Land is adjacent to Redwood National Park near the town of Oryk and is in the heart of the tribe's ancestral territory. In its press release, the tribe said attempts to forcefully remove them from their ancestral homeland in the 1800s led to the region being exploited by the timber industry. In 2013, Save the Redwoods League purchased the land for conservation. Now, under an agreement reached with the League, National Park Service, and California State Parks, Oru is being returned. In a press release, the Yurok tribe said it plans to build a new cultural center on the land to highlight the histories and traditions of local tribes. Oru will officially revert to the Yurok in 2026, following the completion of an ongoing restoration project. For NSPR News, I'm Ken Duvall.
A proposal from Governor Gavin Newsom to build housing and mental health treatment beds for Californians experiencing homelessness was narrowly approved by California voters. KQED politics correspondent Guy Marzorati has more.
Proposition 1 allows the state to borrow nearly $6.4 billion to build treatment facilities and supportive housing. It also moves existing mental health funding from paying for services to build housing. In a statement, Newsom celebrated the win and called it, quote, the biggest change in decades in how California tackles homelessness. The governor led the Yes campaign, which vastly outspent opponents, but he ran headlong into a more conservative primary electorate, leading to a nail-biter result that took weeks to resolve. For the California Report, I'm Guy Marzorati.
The Red Bluff City Council voted at its meeting this week to bolster security at River Park. According to KRCR-TV, the council voted to rent 3 mobile security trailers to improve its enforcement presence. River Park has been plagued by sometimes violent crime and vandalism for years. The equipment will be rented for 3 months at the cost of approximately $21,000. The trailers are equipped with video cameras, audio recorders, and transmitters, and send an alert when someone approaches them. Red Bluff officials told the council that Oroville employed similar trailers last year and found them to be effective in deterring crime. A series of bills advancing in the state legislature could make it easier to get development along California's coastline approved. Supporters of the bill say the state needs this leeway to help make a dent in the housing crisis. But the bills also limit the oversight of an agency that's helped keep coastal development in check for decades. CalMatters' Ben Christopher explains.
So this year we see a handful of bills moving through the legislature that would chip away at the authority of the California Coastal Commission, which is an independent state agency tasked with protecting California's coastline. So supporters of these bills argue that you don't really see very much development along California's coastline because developers are afraid of the California Coastal Commission, and so they are hoping that by reducing some of these barriers to development, we'll actually see more housing in some of California's most expensive and exclusive housing markets. These bills are aimed at streamlining mixed-income housing production and backyard cottages, which a lot of proponents argue are going to be naturally more affordable, even in these very expensive neighborhoods.
That's CalMatters' Ben Christopher. Venues, including fast food chains in airports, hotels, and convention centers, will be exempt from paying a new state-mandated $20 minimum wage to fast food workers. That's because of a bill California lawmakers passed earlier this week. CalMatters' Olivia Zhao explains.
One big justification supporters cited for excluding venues like airports and hotels is that some of them are already under union contracts that require workers be paid more than $20 per hour. That's according to both union leaders and the bill's author, Pasadena Assemblymember Chris Holden. However, it was not immediately clear just how many of these exempted locations actually are under union contracts. The bill is now awaiting Governor Newsom's signature and will go into effect immediately once he signs. Fast food workers at non-exempt locations are set to get their pay bump as of April 1st.
That's CalMatters' Olivia Zhao. People who use powered wheelchairs in California would be allowed to repair their own equipment under a bill advancing in the state legislature. Right now, manufacturers of power wheelchairs are not required to provide information or replacement parts directly to consumers or independent repair shops. Senate Bill 1384 would change that. The bill is supported by Sacramento disability rights activist and wheelchair user Russell Rawlings.
Sometimes I'm waiting on a part for months. There have been times when I've actually been left immobilized because I've had to wait upwards of 6 months for a repair from the provider of my wheelchair. And there are a very limited number of providers that have access to the parts. So SB 1384 would help open this up and give consumers more options.
The bill has passed the Senate Business and Professions Committee. It heads next to the Judiciary Committee. This month, the Karuk tribe published a sequel to its 2021 Good Fire Report. It names ways the state and federal governments could support Native people's right to set fires for ecological and cultural purposes. The first report helped pass state laws supporting cultural and traditional uses of fire and influenced California's wildfire strategy. NSPR's Jamie Jiang interviewed Chico State Geography Professor Don Hankins, a co-author of Good Fire 1 and 2.
So Good Fire 2 takes the work that we did in Good Fire 1 and really pairs it with a consideration of where we've seen progress within the state, where there obviously needs to be adjustments, what didn't work, let's say, and then also looking at the opportunities maybe within the federal government side of things to enable more engagement around cultural and prescribed burning, you know, kind of this idea of all hands, all lands is brought out in the report. The idea of all hands, all lands, it's, you know, tribal people being able to steward on their ancestral territories, even if it's on federal land, you know, and this idea of co-stewardship is brought out in the report. There's a lot of nuanced elements. There's 85 recommendations in the report that goes, you know, across the multiple sections that we identify. And those sections also consider the Wildfire Commission report, which was released in September of 2023, as part of the federal kind of review of what we as a nation need to be doing for addressing our wildfire issues. And so we've incorporated those recommendations. You know, examples include things like the broader recognition of just cultural fire in general in the space of federal agencies and being able to encourage more engagement with tribal entities.
What's a key takeaway for you after working on Good Fire 2?
There's, I think, a lot of interest by our policymakers in trying to find ways of addressing the wildfire crisis that we are experiencing. And sometimes they need to have like an affirmation of like where, what direction should they go. And so I think a takeaway is that there's a lot more interest at the federal level. I think that the report is going to give space for some of the necessary modifications and changes that need to take place within our policy frameworks of fire. But I don't think it's necessarily going to get us over the hurdles. So I see that maybe in the future there's going to be a Good Fire 3.
What kind of change to, you know, cultural prescribed burn policy or policy around wildfire mitigation management do you want to see in the Chico region and in the North State?
The biggest change that I hope to see is the ability for practitioners to be able to engage within their ancestral homelands more freely, without question about, you know, asking permission to be on their own ancestral homelands to do the stewardship. We need to find a way forward. The agencies are grappling with how to be able to do certain kinds of burns within our region in certain land use designations, who's allowed to be on those grounds when the fire is happening and that sort of thing. And I think if we are able to fully implement what we're talking about in Good Fire, then there's no question in having tribal people out with their own training systems being able to burn alongside federal, you know, burners, and or tribal people just out being able to burn on federal lands without those burners, I think is ultimately the direction that we want to see things go, because we need to have more hands in that space and more people trained in that.
That was Don Hankins, professor of geography and planning at Chico State, speaking with NSPR's Jamie Jiang. And those were your headlines for Thursday, March 21st. Our theme song is Burrow, and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. You can also read a newsletter-style rundown of headlines on our website at mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Alex Stutzen.